Hi, this is Doug Deacon. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Zgarra, Vic Carucci back with you here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven, of course, by Liberty Ford. And we're going to talk now about some of the people that might be available to fill the hole left by DeQuell Jackson on the inside of this defense. I'll start with some of the free agents, Vic. Who are some of the people you're looking at as potentials for the Browns to go after in this free agent market?
Yeah, I would start with some of the, again, the investment here has to make sense. I don't know that you're going to go to free agency, and when you go early in free agency, you overspend, all right?
Correct.
And I don't want to see this team do that. I'm still kind of recovering, if you will, mentally, from the overspending that happened the last time this team went for a linebacker, and it was an outside linebacker, and it was Paul Kruger. And to go to the extent that they spent there to try to get a pass rushing force and come away with a guy who gave them nothing really of the sort, or very little of the sort, is a cautionary tale. And we'll see, you know, if Ray Farmer approaches this differently. But some of the names we kicked around there a little bit earlier, and I think a guy like an Arthur Motes makes a lot of sense because of his, A, familiarity with the Mike Pettine, Jim O'Neill defense, B, he will come in and be pretty affordable to add to your team, but you'll get some solid production. I think experience does matter to a great extent, and he'll have that. And I want to see a guy fit that role from an experience standpoint, the signal calling, et cetera, all those things matter. And then in terms of talent, I mean, if you're looking for guys that offer something in the way of skills, moving to the ball, et cetera. As I look at it, I see a guy like a Dan Connor from Carolina or somebody like that, or a Desmond Bishop from Minnesota. Those would be two interesting players. John Beeson, I think he's kind of the best of him is a little behind him. He's played well at times for the Giants.
Too old.
He's old and he's healthy. And that was the thing with Bishop. But I like him. He just hasn't stayed healthy enough for me. That's from the free agent market in my view.
All right, the guys that I would look at in the free agent market, there are two. I think if you're looking for somebody to come in and really be an impact free agent, Donald Butler, 25, played for the Chargers, very good, can cover the pass, can get to the run, athletic, and play sideline to sideline. And then the other one would be Arthur Motes, and that would be at a significantly depressed value relative to what I think it would cost to get Donald Butler here. He's played already under Mike Pettine last year in Buffalo, obviously played behind Kiko Alonso, but he's 25. Guy with decent speed, knows the system, good tackler, didn't miss a single tackle, miss a tackle last year, despite making 36. So that's pretty impressive to me that he was able to make those tackles without missing one. Arthur Motes would be the cheap option if you want to get somebody in here who knew, and then you add athleticism via the draft, which is probably where we're going to see another one of these inside linebackers come from. The other guy to keep an eye on that I have talked to and heard that people are impressed with his athleticism is Darius Eubanks, mm-hmm. who played a little bit last year inside linebacker in one game where he played about half the snaps, racked up 8 tackles, and he's somebody to keep an eye on as well. That was against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Keep an eye on him. Undrafted guy that they brought in, showed pretty well, think he'll have an opportunity to compete. But if you're looking at the draft, obviously the prize in that position in the draft is C.J. Mosley from Alabama. He will likely require a pick in the teens in the first round. I don't know if the Browns would trade down or trade up to get him, but he'd be the top guy. After that, you're looking at Chris Borland from Wisconsin. You're looking at Shane Scobb from Stanford. Those guys don't necessarily have the sideline-to-sideline speed that Mosley does, but those guys are very instinctive athletes. Borland is a favorite of many people in this draft as a football player. And I know that's kind of a cliche term, but that's what when people see him, that's what they think. They think this guy is a football player. And then maybe a guy later on in the draft, if you're looking at that, would be a guy like Lehman Barrow from LSU. You like that, Carly? A little LSU love? Yep. Or maybe an Andrew Jackson from Western Kentucky is a later guy, fits that athletic frame. Barrow, very quick, 4.6 40, somebody can go sideline to sideline, can make tackles, a good player at LSU and wouldn't require an early pick. So I think it's going to be a combination.
Yeah. I like, you mentioned all the prize guys, and then I'm looking at some of the people at the other end as well, like a Jordan Zumwalt or people toward the end. Even intriguing is Glenn Carson from Penn State, because all I hear about him is just steady player, super smart, and a person that will, again, at that inside position, you've got to have some athleticism and coverage ability, but you also are the glue. You got to keep this defense together. You got to understand not only the calls, but how to relay adjustments and so forth. And I want smart people as part of this. I know there's a name, another name that's been a little bit controversial, very, because of some issues he had at Michigan State. But Max Bulla,
I was going to say,
as a hitter, as a pursuer of ball carriers, Max Bulla has high marks there. But he also, there have been also some issues with him that have been troubling, I guess, at Michigan State. He missed some time at the end of the season, and a little connection with him. But his father, or his grandfather, was the his father coached in the league, and his grandfather, Hank Bulla, was a head coach and had been a real top defensive coach. All Michigan State people. Chuck Bulla, his uncle, was here with the Browns, and then I think went on to Syracuse University as defensive coordinator. So there was a little Browns connection there with him. Anyway, I think
and he could be had late. Absolutely.
Yeah, he could be had late. I think that's the key here, is that if all the character things check out, that might be one of those guys you steal a little bit later in the draft.
Absolutely. You try to win. Exactly. You try to steal him a little bit later, and I think you're going to see that approach. I think maybe a guy like Moats would be a cheap free agent, knows the system, he's athletic. Then you could be looking at maybe a Borland in the third round, something like that, late second round, or maybe you even wait a little bit longer and get a Barrow later on in the fifth, sixth. That's where these guys are projected to go. But I think really what the key is finding somebody who can cover, somebody who's got the speed to go sideline to sideline and cover. And if you can do that, I think this defense is going to be in a very good spot. It is also going to be done in a cost-effective manner, and the opportunities are there. This is not something to panic about. I think if you were to look at the Cleveland Browns last year, and we said it even before they cut DeQuell Jackson, one of our biggest positions of need was inside linebacker and getting somebody who could cover on third down. So that doesn't change. There are just more opportunities to do it. So it's a good draft to have as many picks as the Browns do. And there's also a decent free agent crop for what I believe the Browns want to do with that position. Mary Kay Cabot from the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com will be with us when we return. Jason Lockenfora from CBS Sports at 2 p.m. Eastern as Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, rolls on this Thursday, a football Thursday, as the tourists would say.
That's right.